Before I go to my message, I just keep feeling compelled to say something. Mike just keyed something in me when he was talking about his taking the offering, but he quoted what Paul had written, that God's able to make all grace abound towards you. That's what he's able to do. And the Lord just reminded me some things. See, is God wants to make grace abound to you. He said he's able to do it. Now, in other words, which is wonderful. In other words, he has ability. His ability is to make all grace abound to you. That's what he has. But it doesn't necessarily mean all grace is going to abound to you. He said, in other words, he has the ability to do that, but we're the key whether he can do it. We're the key. And he reminded me, because Mike, you know, went on and quoted from the scriptures, you know, he's able to make all grace abound to you. So it says you have a sufficiency, or you have enough in everything, and it's for the purpose you can give to every good work. That's what it is. This is the purpose of it. But you've got to decide that yourself. He can't decide that for you. He has the ability to go as far as you will allow him to go. See, most people and most Christianity doesn't think like that at all. And I'm not knocking you, because when the Lord dealt with me in the areas of finances, started back in 2014, started dealing with me and talking to me, and he said something about what was in me. Because he was talking about, and he made statement concerning people say, well, God will supply your need and about your needs. And he made statement, and I realized when he made the statement to me, he was making it because he wanted a response out of me of my view of my need. What was my view of my need? Well, I'm just going to tell you this. 99% of Christians believe that they have many things that they don't need. Well, you know, I don't need a new car. I can get by with this, or I could have that. I don't need to have this much money, or I don't need, you know, as long as I, you know, have enough to eat and that kind of stuff. They take what Paul made that statement over, they take that one thing. You're going to have to tie it over here to what he said to this other stuff. You know, Paul wasn't believing in it's a good thing to miss lunch. Now, I want you to understand, because the Lord spoke to me, you can have things in you and in your spirit that are right, but you live by your mind and not by your what's in your spirit or in by your heart. Because when the Lord said to me about need, and I talked back to him and I said to him, you know, me and the Holy Ghost are having conversations. I mean, I'm talking, he's responding to me, and I'm talking back. This is what took place in this thing. I mean, I wasn't sitting there trying to hear from God. God was just talking out straight to me about stuff. But I said to the Lord, what is my need? And he said, well, I'm going to tell you what your need is. Now, but I want to understand this. That don't mean that this is the need that's in your heart. This was what was in my heart. Because, see, I had said that scriptures that Mike had said to me. Over the years, I've quoted that so many times. I want all sufficiency to abound in me, so I have enough to give to every good work. And the Lord said to me, this is what you have said, and this is what you said, and it's in your heart. He said, you need a lot of money and a lot of things if you want to fulfill that. That's in your heart. That's your need. He said, you need that. Now, he said, some people might say, oh, you don't need that. He said, you need that because that's what's in your heart. In other words, my faith is not going to work, or I'm going to have to change what's in my heart. If I want less, I'm going to have to change my heart about it. Now, you might not have that in your heart. You might be just, well, you know, I just believe in God for what I need at the time. Basically, that's the way I was living along. But I had put the Word of God in my heart, and my heart wanted to go to another place. The reason God came and talked to me was because of what was crying in my heart, not what I was moving in and what I was calling faith. He was responding. Why? Faith of the heart. It's not of your head. God doesn't respond to you on the basis of what you're thinking. If what you're thinking isn't in line with what's going on in your heart, because it's only your heart is the thing that he can produce from. He can't produce by what you think. He produces faith of the heart. It's just like when Mike and Darlene, they had set themselves in a direction. Their hearts was to build a certain type of home. They wanted something. When they got over and started moving away from that, they didn't think. In other words, they were changing their need, but they hadn't changed it in their hearts. Their heart, they wanted what they wanted. They wanted that. They saw something. They had a vision. They wanted that. God said, I can't help them with that. He said, you need to tell them. I can't help them with that. He said, that's not what's in their heart. I can't bring that to pass. He said, if they do that, they're on their own. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain at building. That's literally true. There's no figurative to that. They were going to build a house, and you know what? They could have built a house on their own. And I would guarantee, you know, and they would have done what I'd have done. Through the whole thing, we'd have told, oh, how God's blessing us and da-da-da. And the whole thing, God wasn't in none of it. Because it wasn't her heart. And that's when the Lord spoke to me and told me to talk to them. He said, you go tell them that I can't help them. They need to build what's in their heart. If they follow what's in his heart, God said, I'll help them build that. I'll help them do it. See, as you're getting things in your heart, and that's why you got to know what's in your heart. What's in your heart do you think that you need? What have you set and you think, it's okay, I only need to go this far. Now understand this. We set that. The Lord told me. I said, well, Lord, how far can I go in this? He said, I have nothing to do with this. He said, this is you. He said, however far you want to take it, how far do you want to go? Well, I realized this. I'm going to have to change some of my believing on the inside of me. I realized that back in 2014. I need to change the way I believe about things. I need to get something in the inside of me, and that's what I got to follow. I can't follow the stock market might collapse, the stock market. You do that, and you follow, and you talk that trash. You're killing your own finances, folks. If you think God can't make you rich without a stock market and everything has to run great and everything, you go ahead and believe it. Well, I'll tell you, you're going to suffer with it. That's good preaching, Ed. God produces what's in my heart. He has to. He does not say what's in my heart he doesn't have to do if everybody else goes does something else. If the economy falls, he can't prosper me. He can't do that because, you know, what's in my heart don't work and faith don't work. Faith quits working if the government messes up. Then faith quits working. I want you to understand this. Most Christians believe that way. Most Spirit-filled Christians believe that way. Hallelujah. God's going to have to fulfill His word that I am believing Him for. And if He says, well, I can't do it because of this other guy, this other thing, well, I'm just going to tell Him, you ain't God. Surely not. You can't be my God because I can't trust you. Hallelujah. You can't make all grace abound toward me. That's an impossibility. It's tied to everybody and everything else. Hallelujah, it's not. Glory to God. How far do you want to go? And Lord just wanted me to share that because it's what's in your heart. He told me, and basically I understood, I need a heart change. But one of the things that marveled me was this. I had put the word in my heart, and my heart, I wasn't paying attention to what was in my heart. I was listening to other things, and I was confessing other things, and God could not move me into other areas of finances. In all my giving, He couldn't do it. He could not do it. He had to get me into line with my heart. What He did with me was just the same thing that He did when He had met to me to tell Mike and Darlene. It's exactly the same thing. He had to get Ed, you got to follow in your heart. It's in your heart. And that's what He wanted to bring to pass. I want to bring that to pass. That I want all grace bounding toward me. That I have a sufficiency in all things that I can give to every good work. He said to me, have you been able to give to every good work? I said, no. He said, then your needs are not being met. Your needs aren't being met. And I said, Lord, forgive me for being stupid. I mean, I didn't need a dictionary. I didn't even need to know Greek to know that the word said this and I'm doing this. What's your need? Hallelujah. What have you said is your need? And you need to understand this. This will determine, I don't care. You might have something big come up in your life and you need something big to happen. But if you set your believing over that I can get away with this, the big need will never be met. That's why many times Christians, they don't realize they've set over. Be careful what you set as need. I want God to establish my need, not me. Here I was, got it into my heart what God said my need was, but I was walking in another place. Hallelujah. All that was free, folks. You got that one free. But I'll tell you what, set yourself, hallelujah. God has big plans for you. And God wants to know how far you want to go. Learn to know what's in your heart. I just tell you this right now. The Lord had me say that because there's some of you have things in your heart, but you're not walking with that. You're walking with what you see in the outside and what you got in the outside. And that's what you've been walking with. And God can't do some things for you. And He's been waiting to. He wants you to move over to what's in your heart and start saying what's in your heart. Start talking about what's in your heart rather than what's going on around you. Hallelujah. So He can bring it to pass. Hallelujah. It's not going to come. You're going to have to get that on your voice. Glory to God. So I changed it. I changed my confession. I changed a lot of things about what I say and how I believe and my need. When I hear people talking about need, most people immediately go over to something less. That's where they travel to. They travel to less. No, we're not traveling to less. You know, who is God to sit up in heaven, streets of gold, jasper and whatever else, walls and all this stuff around Him, and then tell us we don't need much down here? Well, then you get rid of your stuff too. I mean, He sits up there with all the glory and all the stuff and tell it like we're supposed to suffer. That's what Christianity tells us. What a bunch of idiots. What's He some kind of big head and He deserves it all? And well, look, if He thinks that way, when we get to heaven, He's going to treat us like that. If He's a big head, He's going to treat us. Well, that ain't my God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I believe in having some heaven here on the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's good preaching anyhow. Glory to God. I don't know. This is Meddling Sunday. But it's good. I'm telling you, we're going to go further. We're stepping into things. Glory to God. We want a move of God. You know, I'm not going to put money first, but I want to tell you what. You need money, and we're going to spread this gospel, and we want to do things. We need money. We can't stay where we're at. Hallelujah. And enough for me. I'm not going to sit around and believe for somebody else to get rich so they can just come and give me stuff. That's what most people are doing. I want to tell you, understand this. If somebody walks in the door and would hand me a check today for this church for $1 million, who's the most blessed? They are. You know why? They can receive back from God blessed on $1 million. When I get something given to me, I cannot get blessed from it. That is, the blessing has already stopped right there unless I give. That's why it's more blessed to give than receive. Receiving is not blessing. Our blessing of the church is based on what we do, what we plant, not on what we get. You can get, that doesn't, well, thank God we got something that was really nice. That was really a blessing. But the true blessing comes from me being the giver. I've learned, I've watched going to other countries, and I've realized why Americans are so blessed. And you can't stop it. We go to countries that are poor and they won't give. And we go over there and, well, we just need to give more and give more, and America gets more and more blessed, and people turn around and complain about America. That's sorry. The system is run by God, and as long as the giver is the blessed one, and the taker can never go anywhere until he becomes the giver. That's the system. And if you don't like it, don't yell at Ed. Go talk to God about it. He set it in motion. There are nations that are poor and will never go anywhere because they're takers. And if you can't get them to start giving, they ain't going nowhere. And they'll be back there. I preached in nations where I told the people why I'm blessed. I said, I'm a giver. And you know what? When I come, I give and give and I give more. So I go home and I'm blessed because I'm doing the giving. And when I go home, you feel, oh, it's so wonderful here. But I come back the next time and you're in the same condition you were in before because you don't give. It can't change. I'm always done. I tell them, I'm always going to be blessed more than you. Until you get to be like me, I'm always going to be blessed more than you. I'll always have more than you. That's the way it works. Look, if people don't get that, you don't just give people stuff. They got to become givers. Or you're just going to for the rest of life. Hasn't the welfare system, our nation, proven it out? Is welfare really doing great for people's lives? It's worked for me because I'm putting money into it. I'm a giver. I'm always going to be blessed more than they are. You can't change it. You can't stop it. The government can't take enough money from Ed to make him poor. I'm sorry, they can't do it. Hallelujah. I don't know what you believe, but I'm in the Bible. I believe this stuff. I'm one of them crazy fools. Hallelujah. They can do what they want, whether they want to pass a tax bill or whatever they want to do. I tell you what, I don't really give a rip much what they're doing. I don't care. It ain't nothing but politics and all of it anyhow. And a lot of it's fake anyway, so you know. My words, when you got to want to give people a tax break and then say you have to raise the money to do it, how you have to raise money to get a tax break? In other words, what they're telling you, we're going to tax you in other ways other than through your income tax to make the money up anyhow, and we're not going to give anybody anything. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. If you're going to raise money, how could you have to raise money to have a tax break? So you know what? I tell you what, I'm gonna give Mike a break tomorrow, you know, and his taxes. So I got to figure out a way to take money from you to raise money so I can afford to give him a tax break. We're living in insanity, folks. We're living in absolute insanity. We're living in a godless nation with godless Christians who go along and follow these paths and walk down this and can't even see, have no wisdom to see the lie. Christians can't even see the lie. The Satan so deceived a Christian, the Christians can't see the truth anymore. They can't even tell what's true or what's not. They don't even see it. My word, I got to raise money to give a tax break. Those kind of sayings, I hear those kind of things and my mind just goes, poosh. Yeah. 50% of Americans do not pay any income tax. You don't give them a tax virtual thing. 50% of America don't even pay federal income tax. This is the craziest stuff you ever heard in your life, folks. We're going to give to the middle class. Till they get done with you, folks, and you believe like they get you to believe, you won't be a middle class. There will be no middle class. Hallelujah. I'm not even in their class. I classified myself. I tell you what, I'm a born-again Christian. Heaven is my home. Heaven is my kingdom. I don't know what on earth this is down here. I ain't got a clue. I don't know what it is. Hallelujah. But I'm going to follow the principles, and I'll live because truly I am nothing but a pilgrim down here. I'm just going through. I ain't sticking around. You can make this your permanent place. Whatever you want to do, have at it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When Jesus takes me, I don't want to come back to this place unless I'm in a glorified body. I wouldn't even want to come back here. I don't even want to see this stupid place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's good preaching anyhow. Well, let's talk about gifts of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Because we need this. Things that we really need. And God, it's not number one thing you really need is a tax break. God has things on the agenda. The church has been moving more toward has moved more into the political of what our need is than what God says our need is. Hallelujah. It's not moving. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, we're talking about it last week. He said, now concerning spiritual gifts, and we talked about the word gifts wasn't in it. In other words, spiritual things of and pertaining to the Holy Spirit. Now concerning, in other words, spiritual things he's talking about, he said, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Well, do you believe the Holy Spirit was saying that, or this is, Paul didn't want you to be ignorant, but God really does, and Paul was just making a nice statement to these folks. No, God doesn't want you ignorant. And I made a statement of this, and the Lord told me, and spoke to, has been speaking to me, to reemphasize this week is the fact, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13 and 14 are talking about spiritual operations in the church. You can't have one chapter without the other. They all three tie together on the operations of the Spirit in the church. Now, most Christians say, well, the most important part, chapter 13, love. If we have love, we don't have to have all the other stuff. I want you to understand this. You can walk in love, and if you don't have the power of God, it's worthless. You know how Jesus saved you? Jesus loved you, but you were saved by the power of God. The Bible says so. No matter how much God loved you, God had to do something powerful to save you. Love without power is powerless love. You need to understand that. We want to walk in love, but love requires power. Jesus didn't come down and just walk around telling people he loved them. He demonstrated the power of God to reveal the God, love of God. The power of God, the demonstrations and manifestations of the Spirit reveal the love of God. The love of God is not revealed without it. Don't just tell people God loves you. You know, just say God loves. What does that mean? A person's going through terrible times. God loves me. This is what I used to think about it. Well, what do I care that he loves me? I'm in this mess and he ain't doing nothing about it. But he loves me. What? Would you think if somebody loved you, you'd want to do something? You know? That's like me telling Wanda, I love you. Now, I'm living with this other woman, but I do love you. I really do. You're the best. You're the best. I'm sure she'd be just, yeah, that's really good. I'm really glad to hear that one. Boy, that really touched my heart. You don't know how many times sinners wanted to stone you for saying that. Because it was a stupid statement. To say God loves you as if that just covers everything over. See, love has become a worthless word in our society. It's a worthless word. It means nothing out of most people's mouths. It is only talk. This is why the demonstration manifestations of the Spirit, because it is the revelation actually revealed and manifested into the natural realm of the love of God. When I got born again, my new birth was a manifestation of the love of God in my life. It changed my life. When I got born again, it wasn't just God loves. Now, I know God loves me. But I'm still a drunkard. I'm still using drugs. I'm still on the road to wreck. You know, I'm heading on the road to destruction. God loves me. God's love is backed by power. It produces something. Love that produces nothing is nothing. It never was. Well, that's why people don't understand about the love of God, what it is. We need to understand, see, there's things we got to change in our thinking so we can move over in the area of the Spirit. God doesn't want us ignorant about spiritual stuff. The church is very ignorant. If the church is ignorant about love, then it's ignorant about spiritual things. And the church is hugely ignorant about love. I mean, today, well, God loves you, nobody goes to hell, God loves you, and all this different stuff they say. All false stuff. They make these statements, these things, because why? They're not spiritual. They don't know. They don't know the things that they're ignorant of spiritual things. Most people, it's about God in your mind. It ain't God in your heart. It's in your mind. Just ways of thinking. Ways of thinking. But we need to understand, if it's like with me, I have always been along the line of the fact that I don't want just words. I want action. I want something. If something, does it any good to believe things and they never produce anything? What good is that? What is it good to stand for 20 years and believe that God heals, but I can never get healed? What good does that do? That's a waste of my energy to think along that line if nothing changes. It's a waste of time. You got to come to that point and say, hold it. Am I wasting my time? Am I? Am I ignorant about spiritual things? Well, I had to come to you. It's like, well, I would just share to you guys about, you know, dealing with the area with God talking to me about my need. That was my ignorance. My ignorance of what was going on was keeping God from doing for me what he wanted me to do. Sad to say, most people stay ignorant their entire life. You know, it's sort of one of the things they say, insanity. They just keep doing the same thing over that don't work over and over again and expect a different outcome. God is a God of outcome. You need to understand this. There's no such thing as somebody received Jesus Christ and it didn't change their life. That has never, ever happened. If people operated in the Spirit, did spiritually what you're supposed to do, it changed. When I did that, it changed my life. It can't be no different for anybody else. It doesn't cause, well, Ed was called to preach, so now, oh yeah, now it really works. But if you're not called to preach, God just lets you sit on the sideline and you get run over by the truck. Yeah, that's really good, wonderful spiritual teaching. But that's what people are taught, you know. Well, he's a minister, so, you know, he was special. Yeah, I was special Ed. I'll tell you what, that's what I was. Dear God. Dear Lord. Hallelujah. I was one of the ignorant. I was what Paul went on to talk about was one of the Gentile or the heathen. That's what I was. I was following a direction. I was an idol worshiper. Now, I didn't worship other gods. I was an idol worshiper because the scriptures tell us, Paul wrote and said that covetousness is idolatry. In other words, there was other things that were the idols of my life. Drinking was one of the idols of my life. Loads of Christians have much more in their life they love than they love God. They have idols in their life. People love their families, love their things. Everything gets put before God, all this stuff. They get put things before God. You have to watch doing that stuff. We have to watch because it affects our spirituality. The bad thing about it is in their heart's desire is to go toward God, but they're doing something else on the outside. They're following the flesh and on the outside. But inside, saying, no, we shouldn't be going this direction. We, you know, I need to do this. I need to walk in this. But we follow the outside. And what happened? Things don't work. See, turning back, you know, these folks came along and Paul writes to them about they were following, as I said, are carried away by dumb idols, however you're led. He said, I make known to you, no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. In other words, just think about this. These people are yielding back to the same demonic spirits that operated them when they worshipped idols. They're born again Christians. These people are filled with the Holy Ghost. They're tongue talkers. We know they are. But you know what? They yield to wrong spirits. You know why they yield to wrong spirits? Because they think wrong. They think wrong. I've met many Christians over the years are more comfortable with evil spirits than they are the Spirit of God. Because familiar spirits are familiar to them and they always like the familiar. That's one of the hard things about change for people is because we become familiar. Even things that don't work for us and are not good for us, we become familiar with them and it's easier to stay on that path than make a change. We don't like the idea, well, what if I make a change and then I don't even have that? You got to come over to the thing and say, you know, that's wrong. We're ditching that when I'm going over here. This is where the faith, you'll always be weak in faith. Because faith is the place to, the Word says this, I don't know, it might not look like it's going to, the outcome don't look like it's going to be good, but the Bible says it is. Faith is to go to walk over there because the Word says it. This is why many people can't walk in faith, because they're always clung to the side over here of the familiar. And the devil will always keep you over in the familiar. He wants to keep you there. What you're familiar with. Ha ha, yes. I don't want to move over here because what if I even lose that? I don't want to. And see, the faith says, well, over here, the Word of God says this. Yeah, but I can't see the outcome. I know the outcome. I have an outcome here. I didn't what I want, but at least I know I'm familiar and I can be comforted in it. Because you have that spirit there that pats you and says, you poor thing, God, people just don't understand you. You poor little thing. If you just had a better husband, it would be better. If you had a better wife, it would just be better. If your kids weren't so rotten, you'd just be. If this were the familiar, I can get pacified over here. If I walk over here, it's just me and God, and I can't suck my thumb. That's good teaching. The Lord's told me today. He said, I'm going to have you talking about some real practical stuff. And I thought, I wonder what it is. So we're talking about this. We're getting over. This has to do with gifts of the Spirit. Because if you're going to yield to gifts of the Spirit, you're going to yield to the unfamiliar. The supernatural is not the natural as we operate in this earth today. The church is 99% natural today. It's not supernatural. We're called to the supernatural. We're called to the supernatural, but people drag their feet and don't want to go there. They don't want to go to that supernatural place because it's unfamiliar. Now, you can get familiar with it, but it's a place where you walk in faith. The supernatural can be walked in no other way than by faith. It's like the Lord told me, he said, you know, he spoke to me and said he's going to have me sharing some things today. He said, I'm going to talk to you, you're going to talk about some pretty practical stuff about things. He said, but he didn't tell me what they were. So what it is? It's unfamiliar to me, but I must walk over and yield toward it. That by faith, then I can be anointed to say things to help people. See, we're usually always trying to help people naturally. And things never get fixed. I want things fixed. I want good end results. My results ain't good enough. I'm unhappy with my results. Too many people are happy with the results. They like to keep doing the same thing. They want something better. Wanting something better and having something better are two different things. And wanting something better and believing for something better are way two different things. Just because the Word says God wants you to have something, that don't mean you'll ever have it. Doesn't mean a thing. Bible says God will give you the desire of your heart. Read the rest of the Bible, you find out. Yeah, you got to believe for it, walk in it, act like it's true before you ever see it. And other than that, you ain't getting it. The desire of your heart will go flutter away. The desire of my heart was being fluttered away because I was heading the wrong direction concerning finances. Good preaching, Ed. Hallelujah. Paul went and told them that there is diversity of gifts. In other words, there's different kinds of gifts. Verse 5, he said there are differences of ministry, but it's the same Lord. He said there are differences of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But he said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Here he talks about these gifts, and he said the manifestation. In other words, all of these things he's talking about, different gifts and all this stuff, is how the Spirit manifests himself. It's the way the Spirit manifests. In other words, is what does it mean to manifest? What is that? Is to manifest. You know, people have a lot. Manifest means this. It means readily perceived by the eye or the understanding. Evident, apparent. It is plain. To prove beyond doubt or question. In other words, the manifestations of the gifts, or whether these gifts or any way that God gifts a person, is supposed to manifest to people that it is plainly seen. That people can tell it. It's evident. That's what a manifestation is. Just talking is not a manifestation of the Spirit. Now, it is a manifestation, somebody who is anointed and who is saying what the Holy Spirit says. That's why it's one thing we always want to follow the Word. The Holy Ghost ain't going to anoint you for you to talk what you have in mind. He's going to anoint you to follow in direction, but we need to follow in line with the Word. This is one of the things that most people never see. Like, you know, I see Christians say, you know, and I've heard all the time, you know, people would call and ask me sometimes, they have somebody, you know, could you go to the hospital and pray for so-and-so, you know, or something like that. And I'd say, well, why don't you pray for them? Well, I just don't know what to say and do. And I pray for it. Just, I don't just do as well. And I say, and I know exactly why. Because they never share the Word. They never do those things. They just want to walk in, pray for somebody and something to happen. It don't do that way. The manifestations of the Spirit follow in line with the Word. You got to be walking in line with the Word, moving in line with the Word. The Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus. Jesus is the Word. If people don't want to hear me say what the Word says, it's like the Lord told me. He said, you don't counsel people who won't come to church and listen to you teach. He said, your greatest teaching that you do and counseling you do is when the anointing is on you. And he said, when you're teaching and ministering like I called you to, he said, if they don't respect that, they're not going to respect at all what you say any other time. Don't bother talking to them. I don't counsel. You don't come to church, I don't counsel. That's simple. God said, you don't like it, go talk with him. It ain't paying no attention to you. I don't care if you leave. I'm going to obey God because my life depends on him, not you. You need to get it. You don't come, you don't get counseled. I ain't starting some kind of counseling ministry to minister to people while they run around out there and listen to everything else in the world called counseling ministry. Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna counsel them. How to have a good life and stay away from God. That's counseling ministries today. Have a good life and stay away from God. We're going to do this. We're going to pray and we'll be God to you. Huh, what do you think of that? You just get sick, you come, and we'll just pray for you. And I just tell people, why don't you pray for them? See, people don't do it. They don't move in line with the Word. People sit for 20 years in church and still can't pray for somebody that's sick. You don't know how to do it. You don't know how to minister to them. Hold it. Let's get with the program. I was doing that after I was born again a few months. I'd share people what the Word of God said. I wasn't called. I didn't have an anointing. I wasn't standing in any office at that time. But I knew what the Bible said. Dear Lord, when I ministered to my own kids, I wouldn't just pray, lay my hands on them, just pray for them. I'd tell them what the Bible said. You just pray for them, you're doing wrong. You don't do that stuff. You don't just lay hands on and pray for them. You put the word out. They need to learn to develop in faith. People aren't doing that. We have faithless kids today in the church who are so faithless. And they expect to come to church and we're going to teach them here. You ain't going to teach them nothing here if at home it ain't happening. At home's going to be the greatest effect. That's the greatest effect. And you ain't teaching them at home and you ain't laying hands on them and doing according to the word and doing things and explaining them what the Bible says and teaching them to believe. We taught our kids to believe. So they know how to believe. They don't have to call daddy every time something happens. These families were always got to get a hold of mom and dad all the time. Every time something happens, it shows that they were raised faithlessly. My God, I expect them to stand up. They're God. And they can. They can stand up. They can believe God. Hallelujah. That don't happen by me praying for them all the time and not sharing the word with them. Faith comes by hearing the word. Faith don't come by praying for them. Glory to God. They don't want to hear the word. Bye-bye, adios, amigos. You can go someplace else and get a nothing. Hallelujah. I ain't handing them out. Glory to God. I am meddling this morning, ain't I? I tell you, I just... Hallelujah! But God doesn't want you ignorant about spiritual things. Get that settled within your spirit. If you have ignorance about spirituality, then you know this. It is not God holding you back. There are things either you have heard and not paid attention to, or there's things you need to hear and you need to start digging to look at. I started looking at things. You wouldn't realize how many times I listened to the tapes of Kenneth Hagin's on gifts of the Spirit. I wore out two sets of them things. Wore them out. The second set I got, I finally got smart. I did a copy over on the ones, but I tell you what, wore them out. I wore it out till I got it. If you ain't listening to things over and over again, you're not getting there. I'm just telling you. You're not going there. So just, you know, it doesn't do any good. I could not get it at first shot. I'm sorry. Maybe everybody else is just smarter than Ed. Everybody else is brighter than Ed. But I did know this over the years. I knew more about how to operate in things of the Spirit than all the other people who said you didn't have to do that. I did notice that. I noticed a few things. It wasn't because I was a rocket scientist, but I kept listening to the word till I got revelation to do. What causes things to happen? See, that's where, I'll never forget when I, you know, was read after John G. Lake, and John G. Lake said, I don't want to know how God heals, I want to know how He does it. That was a smart, when he said that, it grabbed my hold of my heart. Because I knew the outcome of the man's ministry, and I thought, he got a hold of something these other ministers are not getting a hold of, they don't have. They don't have. They talk about things. But I knew he touched into something they don't talk about. See, this is Christianity today. Oh, God's wonderful, just because I know that. Well, you know how He's wonderful? Do you know how He does it? Well, no, I don't know. I just know He is. Yeah. It's not enough. If you don't know how things work, it's not enough to know that there's certain wonderful things in the kingdom. You have to know how they work so you can join into them. And the more you understand how it works, the more you can apply things to enjoy more of it. Being in the kingdom doesn't mean you're going to enjoy anything in the kingdom while you're here on this earth. It doesn't mean anything. It's learning how to cooperate. That's why Paul's talking here, when he was talking about operating in things of the Spirit, he's talking about the spirit realm. Operating, there's a spirit realm. The laws and rules of that spirit realm in God's kingdom are set up and established by His Word of how that realm works. Most people take the principles of the Bible and try to apply them to the natural realm. They're not applied there. They don't produce, you can't take that realm and apply it here. The principles are applied in the Spirit, through your Spirit, through speaking the Word of God, through acting out what the Bible says is true, whether you see it with the eye or not. We're operating. We were singing this morning about an invisible God. That's why most Christians have a terrible time, because they can't believe anything they can't see. We have an invisible kingdom, and we're applying principles. When I act in faith, I'm applying a principle while I'm walking in this earth that is invisible to this realm. It is contrary to say, I believe I receive something you can't see. I believe I receive it. Jesus said, when you pray, believe you receive it. At the time you pray, believe you receive it. Believe I receive something. I haven't heard anybody say, other than what the Word says, I haven't heard anybody say, yeah, that belongs to you. No, the Bible says, well, I'm supposed, well, if I want it, but whatever's in my heart, I desire, if I believe I receive it, then I'll have it. See, that makes no sense to the natural realm. That's a spiritual principle, and it's operated in the unseen. I'm speaking words that there's nothing seen that makes sense to it. But see, I'm doing it in the realm of the Spirit. Your spirit is designed to speak words in the spirit realm. And understand, that's where the power words. You get the wrong things in your spirit and you speak them, you can bring destruction to yourself. The spirit realm, you'll open the doors and the devil will come and eat your lunch. And you'll sit around, everything's looking good, and all of a sudden everything goes bad. I don't understand. Why did that happen? I wish I had $1,000 every time someone comes in and say, I don't understand why this happened. And I'm thinking the whole time, I've been hearing you talking. I've been watching what you're doing. I know why it's happening. I know why. I know why it is. The devil just can't come and just destroy anytime he wants to. The curse don't come without a cause. The Bible says it. So I know Ed gets over on the curse side, Ed needs to straighten something out. Ed needs to get in line with something, because I have done something over in the realm of the Spirit that is causing power to go into operation, either for me or against me. The devil don't like Ed enough without me cooperating with him. The devil don't like you at all. So you don't want to do anything to cooperate with him to help him come after you. You don't want to do that. His whole thing is he's after you. You know, we're in this world, there's tribulation, there's trouble. But I want to tell you, most people have a lot more trouble than they're supposed to. So we want to get, and that's why, becoming, to understand the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, in Mark 16:20, Jesus, it says this, and he said, and they went out, and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. How does God work? He confirms His Word. The gifts and manifestations. So when we look at the book of Acts and we read the book of Acts, the Acts is the follow-up of the preaching of the Word, is what the Holy Spirit does when people say what God's Word says. God is always confirming the Word. If I'm speaking something different than the Word, God cannot confirm that. God will always confirm His Word, not Ed's Word, or Ed's ideas, or Ed's thoughts. My thoughts and my ideas must be in line with His thoughts, His ideas. He will confirm that it's true. I mean, think about this. Kenneth Hagin complained to the Lord about not having as many manifestations of the Spirit. He said, what's wrong? What's happening? And the Lord spoke to him. He said, well, you're not preaching the Word. And Kenneth Hagin said, well, man, he said, I got upset. He said, Lord, you know, he said, you punched me in the stomach. He said, you have some stuff you preach the Word, but he said, you have stuff that's your ideas. He said, there's religious beliefs you have from the past, and you talk those things. And he said, that all affects it. He said, I can't confirm what you're talking if you're not talking when I'm talking. And Kenneth Hagin said, well, I just got right about that. And he said, I got more over in line with the Word. See, the big thing we're dealing with right now in America is right now we're dealing with the American church. The American church is so far off the Word. Most of the major ministries are so far off. They have loads of things that have been mixed in. And loads of people say, I hear these guys saying, hey, we're preaching the Word. And I tell you, really listen to what they're saying. And there's a lot of good religious things and people like and believe and like to hear. And they say it's the Word. It's not. That's when the Lord said to me back years ago, why do you believe what you believe? And when He said that to me, I realized what He was speaking to me, to go back over the things that I say I believe and go back to the Scriptures. Do the Scriptures confirm my belief? Ed was shocked. Ed was shocked that he was taught things by people and stuff, and it wasn't in line with the Word. And I thought, you know what? It's just like flying a plane. You get off a few degrees, no telling where you're going to end up. Well, see, that's what happens. What happens is you get a little bit of a wrong truth in there, a wrong thing, and you just keep walking out further and further with that, and that error goes out further. That's why when Charles Capps had that vision about the end time. See, up here, God was tolerating pigs in that funnel of light. When you get down to the end, you're supposed to be in the center, walking back down through the tunnel. He said, many of my people are going to be in darkness when they get down here because they won't correct themselves and bring themselves over to walk in the truth of the Word. Now, every one of those people will want the manifestation of the Word in their life, but they're not going to have it. My entire Christian walk has been moving more and more to be toward the light. That's what the whole purpose of God wants me to do. He wants me to walk over more and more. Right now, the big effort is trying to pull us. Majority of the church world is trying to pull everybody over. Oh, we don't have to be quiet. Don't be so tough, Ed. You don't need to be so tough. No, lax up a little bit. You're just not enough loving for people. You got to let them get away with stuff. You got to let the devil get a hold of them more, you know. Let them live more like a devil. God loves them. He'll help them. This is what goes on out here. And most Christians have bought it as true. I don't have to deal with my life a whole bunch. I don't have to get back over. No, I tell you, we better get back over. God ain't going to wake you in the morning and talk to Him while you walk over in darkness, other than tell you, get your butt back in gear and start acting like a Christian. If He can't correct you and your problems, He ain't going to tell you about somebody else's. We need to get this stuff right. We need to come back to spirituality. I will tell you, this is no lie. Back in the early 80s, when I came into the kingdom, the church was much more spiritual then than they are today. Much more spiritual than they are today. Most spirit-filled churches are were more spirit-filled back then than they are now. They've left it. They've taken in whatever man has said. Hallelujah. We talked about what Jesus said in Acts 1:8 when He told them. He said, talking about the Holy Spirit coming, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you shall be a witness. Why? What is a witness? Manifestations. You're going to have manifestations. It's going to be a witness that Jesus is alive, that He's true. That's what these gifts of the Spirit. In other words, love, and you need to understand this, love. Love isn't, you know, if we don't walk in love, it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us not to walk in love. The gifts of the Spirit aren't going to do us any good if we don't walk in love. But that doesn't mean we can walk in love and you don't need the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, that's totally absurd. If you think about it now, 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and if you look at the end of the chapter, Paul makes this statement. He says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Earnestly desire. And yet I show you a more excellent way. He talks about love. The excellence, in other words, love in helping these gifts. It isn't love takes the place of these gifts. He said, I'm going to show you. He said, earnestly desire. Now I want you to think about this. If love is better than the gifts of the Spirit, why should I earnestly desire them? What's the purpose of that? How crazy is that? The 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians, first verse, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Now I want you to talk about those. The desire, the spiritual gifts, we're supposed to desire. We're supposed to earnestly desire, earnestly desire. You look up what that means, that word means, it means to be zealous, to burn with desire, to pursue ardently, to desire earnestly or intensely. This is most people. God will give you the desires of your heart. What this means is, I ain't got much desire in me at all for anything. When you talk about desire, you need to understand this. If you say that you're believing God for something, and I want to tell you this is scripturally a fact. If you tell people you're believing God for something, and yet you would, if it didn't show up, you could live without it, you don't qualify for faith. That is not faith. Faith is based on what you believe you receive. If there's no way that you could believe you receive it if you figure, if I don't get it, it's okay. And if it's, well, I'm just trying to get this thing. That does not qualify for faith. Most people don't have enough desire for what they want. They don't build a desire. How do I build a desire? How do I do that? You build a desire by talking about the desire. Your mouth is going to determine how strong your desires are. You know, you can tell me what you believe all you want, but I'm gonna just know this. I'll know by the follow of your mouth of how great your desire will be for that to happen. You build desire. You know, I proved it out just in natural things, how it works. You know, there were certain things that I didn't like to eat. So I wanted to prove out some certain things about getting deep. So what I did is I started, you know, this confession stuff works. You know, I was not crazy about spinach. Wanda was a spinach eater. She'd eat spinach and eggs and make eggs and spinach. I mean, she loved it. I didn't love it. But I thought, you know, I don't see why, you know, I just ought to be able to learn to like this spinach stuff. And I used to start to say, I like spinach. See, now here's what most Christians say. You're lying. See, the devil come and say you're lying. No, I started acting on a faith principle. It is no lie for me to say that under the faith principle. I'm putting the words in my heart. I got the point. You know what? I like spinach. There's a load of stuff. You know, that's how I did this as a sinner. I wanted to eat hot food. I liked the taste of hot peppers. But when I started off eating hot food, I was stationed in the service down on the border of Mexico. I was stationed down there, and those people down around there, they ate, and the people, they had, you know, restaurants and stuff on the American side. They had food. These people get down and eat this stuff and love it. And I loved the food, but it was hot. And I thought, I don't want to miss this food. So you know what I kept doing? I kept going down there eating hot stuff till I'm going to tell you what, I can eat fire today. I got it? Not sitting around, well, I just can't eat. That just really bothers me. And this, I just can't. I can't. This bothers me and that bothers me. Well, it bothers you because you have made it. You confessed it would, and you're actually, your faith is working perfect. You have done it. You are living proof that faith works. You're living proof of it. And I just kept after it. You know what? You ain't going to learn to like something without eating. I remember I used to eat spinach. I'd eat it. Yes, I got. I say, well, I like spinach. And you know what? Today, I like spinach. Make spinach and eat it, and I like it. I like this spinach just made, you know, sauteed in there. I like it fresh. You can put, you know, sauces on it and do anything. I like it and make it. But there's different things I've done. I just started making confession of things, start saying them, and you got to learn to do that. That's how this realm of the Spirit works. What was unseen in the natural, I began to speak as if it was in the natural. And what happened to it? It went into the natural. You cannot speak to a mountain. If you have to have natural, you'll never speak to a mountain. You'll never speak to it. Because you won't say anything to it, because if I do and it don't move, what is, I'm going to have to see it. I'm going to have to see it before I say it. I'm going to have to see it before I say it. No. You start speaking things. You start saying things. And see, this is learning to operate. Your voice is going to be tied to the manifestations of the Spirit. If you can't control your voice, you won't operate in manifestations of the Spirit. Number one, you'll be afraid to. You'll be afraid, you know, God gives you a thought, and you know what? It don't look like it's so at all. And it comes to you, it rises up inside of you. Many times, stuff comes up inside of me, and I have no idea concerning a person. I have no idea, and God wants me to say it to the individual. And you know what? Because it's uncomfortable to your flesh. I don't, what if I say it and it ain't right? Now, naturally, that's what's going to happen to you. That's what your flesh is going to do. But if God gives you a word, if a thing comes, if you won't yield to it unless you know the answer before, well, if the person, you know, you have to know if that situation really is it before you say it, there's no need for you to say it. This, folks, this is the way this stuff works. It doesn't work by the same. You know, we take like Moses and his rod. Does it make sense to put a rod out over the water and tell it to go back? He had to do that before any water went back. And you know what? Cecil B. DeMille's lied about the whole thing. And most Christians lie about the whole thing. That water didn't open up right away. The Bible says it did it overnight. A strong east wind blew. And it wasn't till morning till it was open. 99% of Christians don't even know that because they never read the Bible. They listen to stories and watch TV. And stupid people say stupid things. Like people say, the last movie they made of Moses, and I went and watched it. I mean, they're going across the Red Sea, and there's water, and they're trunking through the water. And I've written after Christians, and even some spirit-filled ministers, well, they thought it was a pretty good movie. It was a terrible movie. It was unscriptural. The Bible says they went through on dry land. There wasn't even a puddle out there. And the Bible says the water's congealed. You know what congealed water is? One form of it's ice. Ice is congealed water. In other words, the water got solid. The water turned solid. So there couldn't have been any puddles to go through. But see, we just buy things. Don't read the Bible, what the Bible says. Just, you know, we got our ideas. And I watched the movie. They told me a story when I was a kid in church. Yeah, they lied to me too. They didn't know. They never read the Bible either. They just put that stupid stuff out and take all the supernatural out of it. God's supernatural. Man, He's something. He's absolutely incredible. And you know what? You read the Bible. This is the whole thing. A man had to stand out there and put that thing over and do that when nothing's seen. You got to do it when it's not seen. Will you do that? See, this is what you got to change yourself into in your thinking. I had to start making confession. I said, God, if you're going to use me, I'm going to obey you. I will obey you. I'll obey you. You show me, you give me something to say, I'm going to say it. I'm going to tell you what. I would even think sometime, Ed, you're lying. You're going to say, well, let me tell you, you don't want to say it. There's a natural fear of those things that start coming. You're going to have to deal with it. But you're going to have to get your voice in line. You're going to have to get your voice in line about it. You're going to have to talk about obeying. Well, I'm going to try. Forget it. Stay home. Don't try. This ain't about trying. It's about doing it. And it's going to require something of us. It requires something of us about operating in a realm that is unseen, but you act like you can see it. You act like it's actually happening and going on. You act like it. And that's what we're doing. We're acting like the Bible is true. And if you act like it's true and you say it's true, then God will manifest it so people can see that it's true. We want it exactly the opposite. We want it to show up and then we'll say it's true. There is no faith required in that. The Bible says, why would you believe for what you can see? In other words, what you can see and believe is not faith. It's no faith in it. There's no faith in what you can see. The Bible tells us, looking out here at nature, we can see there's a God. But it doesn't say you have faith in God because you can see nature. All it says is you can see there's a God. There's no way to run into God and know if He's true or real is only by faith. That's why people say, well, we go out in nature to worship God. Well, that's a worthless thing to do. Because there's no faith involved in that. It's only based on what you see. And you know there's a God, but you don't know Him. You don't know what He's like. So the devil shows up in the woods with you, you'll worship him. You'll build an altar to him, and you'll follow him. And they do. It doesn't take any faith. People do all this stuff, calling things faith and belief. There's no faith in it. I done read the Bible. Anything that's not in line with what the Word of God said is not faith according to God. It's called unbelief. It's unbelief. Dear Lord, I've had it already. So have you. I believe things that weren't so. And I've had unbelief. And to get in faith, I had to throw away what Ed believed, and I got to pick up what God says. And that's got to become true to me, even if it doesn't look like it's true. It doesn't seem like it's true. The Word of God's the truth. Oh man, for years as a young Christian, I said, the Word of God's true. I don't care what anybody says about it. I don't care if I understand it. It is true. It's the right thing to do, whether everybody else says it's not. I'm not going to move from that. You know where I ended up at? The Word's my guide. I've got it, so my heart only wants to follow that thing. My heart just wants to go to that. Men can come and say everything. The first thing my heart is always drawn to is, what does the Bible say? It's the first thing my heart's driven to. What does the Bible say? And see, that is just the way, it's the way faith works. God does not want you to be ignorant. Hallelujah. You know, this morning I thought, you know, we're teaching on gifts of the Spirit. It don't sound like much, but I realize what God's laying in groundwork here. because we need to yield over there. He wants to use us. These manifestations of Spirit, if we don't understand spiritual things, you are not going to step over there into this. You're not going to step to that place. We have to get over in the areas and lose the fear of the unknown. And not be afraid of what's invisible. The kingdom we serve is an invisible kingdom. Now, it's not going to be invisible. One day, man, we're stepping straight into it and we're going to have new bodies and everything. But I'm going to tell you, right now it's invisible. Now, I've been fortunate enough, and I've, over the years, I've had manifestation and I've touched into things in that realm. I have seen things in that realm. But I want you to tell you that you see things in that realm, and this is what happens. You come back over to this realm, and you know what? If you can't walk by faith, no matter what you saw or heard in that realm will amount to nothing to you. Because you got to walk by over here when you can't see. That's what keeps it alive. What keeps my Christianity alive in me and strong in me is I believe what I can't see. If the Word says it, it's true. I don't care how many visions I've had or how many dreams I've had. I don't care how many times God's woken me up in the night. He's done it many times and talked to me. That's not where my faith stands. My faith has been founded on this book, and everything that God ever spoke to me in a dream, anything He's ever shown me, anything He's ever done, He's always shown it to me, and I've always known there's scriptures that verify the things that He is speaking and doing. It's in line with the Word. I don't have pizza dreams. Hallelujah. You know, because you ate so much and you got some weird dreams going on. Glory to God. We want to walk in it. And I want to encourage you in these things. Get over here. You know, walk in this place of faith. It's in your heart. There's stuff that's in your heart. I just know this. There's stuff that's in your heart and you're not walking in it. It's inside. You got it. Quit trying to get it in you. It's lose the fear of walking in it. Lose the fear of walking in it. You already know it. You already know where you can walk. And your heart can't wait to go there. Why? Because if you let your heart turn loose on your mouth, you're going to have what you say. God is going to bring it to pass. God's going to bring. See, God, I had it in my heart. When we started this thing in this money thing, I had it in my heart. It was there the whole time. But nothing was happening. Why? Because I wasn't walking there. I wasn't talking there. I wasn't walking there. I was walking another way. And God said, I can't. He couldn't do for me what He wanted to do. He had to tell me what my own need was. You know, I've sort of been a stickler about knowing what going on in my own spirit. And it just sort of set me, I thought, dear Lord, I'm missing this whole thing the whole time. Questioning in my mind about what I need. You know, since He straightened me out on that, I tell you what, we talk about my need has changed hugely. I don't think, if we get a bologna sandwich is enough. No, if we don't get a steak with it, we ain't taking it, I'll tell you. Hey, folks, I like bologna. I'll eat bologna. But I want you to tell you, we have a diet of bologna. Is just, you could just live on this or you can have that. You could just get by and you could just do that. God never intended for me to do that, and He never intended you to do that. You ain't going to impress this world today on your starving out. You ain't going to impress them. You ain't going to turn a nation around thinking you don't need anything. Because the people who need something and their lives are a mess and need something are going to look at you and say, your God don't help you. That's what I used to look at my parents in the church that I went to. You got, God don't help you guys. Why would I want to come over and do this thing? Why would I want to follow it? What do I want to follow this for? I have it as good without Him as they got Him where they say with Him. Hold it. You know, I read after King David, seem he did better than others around him. When you look at what King David accumulated in his own wealth and stuff to build the temple that he turned over to his son to start the building of the temple, of his own value, of the stuff that he did in his own, he accumulated. Man. He could surely give to every good work. Hallelujah. King David lived like a king and had so much excess that his excess was a billion times more than most people think that you're ever supposed to have to live. My God, he was living good. He was doing just fine. Hallelujah. And he taught Solomon well. It's a shame for Solomon. God's the one to give Solomon all the wealth. Solomon ended up following the wealth and the women. He did what Kenneth Hagin, what the Lord told Kenneth Hagin years ago. He said most ministers fall because of the three G's: the gold, the glory, and the girls. And Kenneth Hagin said, over the years, they said, I watched, and he said, ministers who fall, either one, two, or three of those things, they do, that cause them to fall. Solomon bit all three of them. He did real good. But I've watched over the years now. I've been around for a while. I've been in the ministry now, going to my 27th year. I've been in the ministry, and I've watched it, and it always is the same thing. The gold, the glory, they get over there, following the money. Money becomes the thing you follow. After a while, you know, God wants you to have it, but can't be a God. Cannot be. You got to keep your hand back from that to not let that get a hold of you. There's a purpose in money, and I have a purpose for money. I got a good, you know what? Some of the money I want is for Wanda and I. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, it ain't top of the list. It ain't the top of the list. But I'm on the list, I want you to know. I ain't on the bottom of it, I want to tell you that. Ain't no way I'm on the bottom of the list. Wanda and I are up toward the top. I can be like that. I can do that. God told me to. But see, you got to keep its perspective, what it is. It's a wonderful tool, but you can't follow it. It's a wonderful tool. Hallelujah. It's just like the same ministers. Girls are nice, but you can't follow them. I'll tell you what. I got a wife, and that's it. Ain't no other girls. ain't no others in the subject. Ain't no other girls. That's it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You get over it, you follow. Why? I've watched it over the years. The devil will send women to you. Christian women will follow it. Come up, try to make out. They want to get a hold of you. And I know. Don't tell me God has some Christian woman trying to want to get. You know it's a devil. They yield to things. So I've learned over time things to stay away from, things not to mess with, things don't do. Hallelujah. I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be alone with other women and that stuff. You don't get yourself women. You don't do yourself with men and that stuff. You be very careful about those things. You ruin your reputation gets ruined. And I'll tell you, more people's reputation have been ruined by lies. Don't let the devil set you up so he can lie about you. Because it can ruin your reputation. If your reputation is ruined publicly, I don't care how right you are about things. People won't listen to you. It's gone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why you always be careful. And I don't, you know, as a minister, as number one, you know, people can be hurting and in problem, need help. If a woman's in help, she needs a place to live. Well, we'll get her a place to live. She ain't moving into my house. They ain't living with me. I have an office, I have a place to stand in. I can't afford my reputation to be ruined by things. They say, well, they're a nice person. I don't give a rip how nice they are. There's a devil, and the devil has taken a lot of nice people and done a lot of ugly things with it. You have to learn those things. I have never seen any of that ever come to good, people taking people into their house and that stuff. And that I've watched more marriages and stuff mess up over that stuff. We ain't going there. My marriage is a treasure. I'm the king, she's the queen, and anybody else is a subject, they can go to another kingdom. Not mine. You ain't messing up my kingdom. You ain't bringing your junk to my house. I'll help you get a place, but not at my house. And that's how you keep things clean. That's how you keep things. People do it, it's not a good thing. I'm just telling you, it's not a thing to do. Don't mess up what God wants to do in your life. I know people that God can't use. They've ruined their lives, and now He can't use them because nobody trusts them anymore. Things have gotten so messed up. You don't want to go there in that stuff. You stay away from those things. Hallelujah. This good wisdom, folks. Wonderful wisdom is to learn, because the devil's not nice. He's not nice, and he sets people up. I mean, you just think about the things with PTL, what happened with Jim Baker. The numbers of ministers that got messed up over that thing of that one woman going from minister to minister to minister. Started out secretary in the church. Number one, I've never had a secretary who was built like that. She ain't coming in. Ain't no office with me alone with some woman. I often said to Wanda, and Wanda and I talked about it, I said, if I have a secretary, I'm going to get a guy. I said, I ain't going to have, you know, looking around some pretty little thing out there and saying, I know more ministers have fallen because there's pretty little secretaries. I know more ministers. I can literally say this. I've known hundreds of ministers who have fallen over their secretaries. I want grandma with no teeth. I want her sitting out there. And she treats me like I'm her son, and you know, that's it. Hey, man, we go places, man. Give me some cute thing. I don't want some cute thing. Cute thing, give her a job in the basement pushing a broom. But she ain't going to be in the office. I'm a man. And the devil knows it. You don't leave yourself open to stuff. People think, oh, that's prejudice. No, this is good sense. The world is going to destroy you if you keep following it. Another idea of love and taking care of people. The Bible says if you don't take care of your own family, you're worse than an infidel. My first protection is my family, not somebody else's family because they got problems. My first one is to my wife, not some other woman, not some other guy. So praise God. That's good preaching anyhow, folks. Sometimes these things are hard for people to hear because there's a lot of craziness out here, but I'll tell you what, this craziness is what stops the move of God. Just like Dake. Dake spent, I don't know how many years in prison counseling a woman. She said he tried to rape her. He went to prison for I don't know how many years. He never tried to rape her. She admitted finally after he'd been in prison a long, long time. Finally admitted it, but what happened? He spent all that time in prison. He set himself up. I've had ready and set up. Women wanted to counsel with me, and I said, well, you can't enlist my wife. Oh, I don't want to talk in front of your wife. I said, and you don't want to talk in front of it either. So forget it. You ain't getting me alone. We ain't going there. We ain't having that. It's not, well, I don't want anybody else to know. Good, then don't tell me, because I'd tell everybody anyhow. Dear Lord, dear God. I've watched good people go down the tubes. Good people go down the tubes doing stupid stuff. Hallelujah. I don't believe everybody's good. I have watched people over the years say all this. Well, they have a good heart. And I've watched what these people they say have a good heart do. Good hearts don't do what these people do. Praise God. Well, did I meddle enough today? I'm going to tell you what. I'm a shepherd. I'm trying to protect the flock. I'm trying to protect you. I want you to be spiritual. And you get spiritual, you learn to protect yourself. Spiritual people understand what's going on around them. The manifestation of the Spirit will help you stay in contact with what's going on around you. You'll find out why spirits and what's going on, not just a person. People are motivated by spirits. You find out the motivation behind things. People say very good things, but their motivation's wrong. Wrong spirit behind it. You don't know that? God has protected me, I don't know how many times over the years with that. Getting around people. And I just know in a sense, caution. Boy, to me, just in my spirit, something's wrong. I don't care how much everybody else says it's wonderful and goes with it. Every time over the years I've had that happen, it's proved out to be right. Every time. I have never missed it one time on that. It's proved out to be right. Every time that came up, something was wrong. And it's not just generally, all of us, things in our life ain't perfect. But when there's something that can mess you up, getting into the wrong things. As you need to understand this, the devil can get you over into areas of your life where you'll never fully get out of them. They can ruin your reputation. Things can happen where you never really can get back on the course that you wanted to go. Don't ever believe these people say, yeah, anything can be fixed. Yeah, that's true. But you know what? You can mess your soul up so much, your mind up so much, that it can't get fixed. You can't open up to get it fixed. It isn't that God couldn't fix it. Loads of people out there, they're walking around with damaged minds out here. They can't think straight anymore. There's Christians who's gotten over where their souls are so messed up. To try to set things on course. Unless it's a miracle by God, it ain't setting on course. believing wrong truth. In other words, listening to false teaching can mess you up so much. It's like I told you guys before. I mean, there's a minister that I knew God wanted to use in a powerful way. And over the years, I've watched as I've been a Christian, and I could see that this guy wasn't moving in. I knew he was supposed to move into God wanted to use him in a real special way in the body of Christ. And here back a few months ago, I got talked to the Lord about it. And the Lord said, I never really talked to God about it. And I just said, Lord, what about so-and-so? I said, known? I mean, he has a big ministry and stuff. But I said, I have known for years where you wanted him to walk. I saw it. I saw it in the spirit. When he was ministering one time, I saw in the spirit where you wanted to take him. And I said, the Lord said, yeah. He said, I wanted to take him there. But now he's got hooked up with some other people. And he said, they've taken him out into things. And he said, I'm not going to be able to use him now like I wanted to. He said, he won't go there. He said, oh, people think he has a great ministry, but he said, he's doing a lot of things I didn't call him to. Oh, he's patted on the back loads of big times. Spirit-filled people listen to his ministry. Doesn't mean he teaches wrong things, but the whole thing, he's not walking in the perfect will of God. God had big plans for him. And the Lord said, I can't use him anymore. He said, he got hooked over in another area, and he said, he swallowed some things he shouldn't have swallowed. And he said, it's costed him now. And he said, I'm not going to be able to use him. And I thought, what a shame. What's the shame of it is, we needed that ministry in the body of Christ. And most spirit-filled people who walk right think he's walking right. And he's not. We lost something. We lost a gift that God wanted to put in a church that would have taken us somewhere, which is required to take us places. God puts gifts in the body of Christ to take us someplace, to take us to a new level, to take us something. Just like with Brother Hagin, God used him to bring a revelation in the earth to take the body to another level. God has always done that, put special ministries in to take us to another level. That's why it's so important that we listen in these things and we pay attention to these things. That's why I need to follow God, because if I don't, then my ministry doesn't take people to where it's supposed to. See, people today, well, it's just me. It's just me and my, this is the way I believe in this. What about the others around you that you ain't going to take them to any place? They're going to stay on your low level. What about your family? Your family's going to stay on your level, basically. You ain't going nowhere, they ain't going nowhere. Hallelujah. That's why I want my family to go someplace. Hallelujah. I live for God, for my family. I don't live for them. If I live for them, they ain't going nowhere. I live for God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My children have been blessed after me because of Wanda and I's walk. There's a lot they got in life they didn't get because of them. They got because of us. It's because where I walked. Hallelujah. They're my offspring and God blesses them because they belong to Ed. That's why you want to follow what's true. You got to do that, folks. God can't bless you. Your kids, there's a lot of you ain't going to be able to bless. Can't do it. You follow God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. I've done metal long enough, I guess. Hallelujah. But it'll help you. Hallelujah. There's things that we warn along the line here. Why? It's not to, we're after anybody. But I'll tell you what, you want a wonderful outcome. Start heading for the outcome. Be a person dedicated to outcome, not just what looks good right here at the time. Outcome. What's the outcome that you want? What do you want? It's not enough to look good in front of people saying good stuff. You want your outcome to be good. Hallelujah. You want your outcome to be good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I thank you. Father, you've set us on a course. And Lord God, you're doing a perfection in us. You're working, Lord God, you're chipping away at things that need to be chipped away at us. Hallelujah, in us. And I want to thank you, Lord. Surely I do need corrected. Surely, Lord. But Lord God, we're heading on a path, Lord God. And Father, the desires of our heart are hugely greater than what we see going on around us. And Lord God, we want the desires in our heart coming to pass. Lord, I would never be satisfied if I stood before you and didn't see the things that were in my heart to come to pass. I wouldn't be satisfied. And Lord God, I know that You've dealt with me on this. Lord God, Your great desire is to bring these things to pass. Because, Lord, I must have that fulfillment. Hallelujah. Because it's what You put in us. Lord God, and I believe each one here, Lord God, there's things inside of them. Lord, the desires that they have for fulfillment, hallelujah. And Father God, that's what you want to fulfill these things in them. You want to bring these things to pass. It's Your great desire. Lord God, as it's, and Lord, forgive us because instead of us building on that desire as much as You desire it, we thought we could just walk and live on Your desire. But Lord God, it's about us. And Lord God, Lord, I pray for us, Lord God. Lord, I want a hunger burning in me concerning Your truths and the direction that You're heading us to fulfilling Your words. Lord God, You have a plan for this nation and You've never changed it. Lord God, there's people who have stepped into places. Lord God, there's ones, and You've spoken to me clearly. And You said, Lord God, these ones that won't listen and keep following their path. You said, Lord God, that You were gonna, that Lord God, You were gonna let the devil have them. You said You were gonna, and Lord God, Lord, You said You're gonna, and their outcome, they're gonna head on to their destruction. They're gonna head on into their area. Lord God, they've decided they don't want to listen. But Lord God, You're not gonna send the nation down the tubes. Father, I pray for correction. Lord, if people won't turn, if people won't listen to what's right, Lord God, we need correction. We need things that'll grab them, Lord, and literally scare the hell out of them. Because hell is what's operating in them. And Lord God, we need that in our nation. Lord, we have a president who wants to do something right in this, and he's Your man. You called him. Lord God, You spoke to me personally about him. Lord God, when I had no thought of that man being president, and You said to me that he was Your man and was going to be the president of the United States. And Lord God, You're the guy that said to me You wanted a bull in the china closet. That's what You said You wanted. Well, we got the bull in the china closet. And Lord God, I know there's tearing up, but Father God, I expect You to protect that man. He's Your man. I expect Your angels to be around him. I expect that voices that rise up against him will be condemned in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, in this nation, You've called it to glory, and You've called us to walk in glory. And Father God, these ones have stood in our government in the way. There's ones who stand in the media in the way. And Lord God, Lord, Your voice has gone out, and they have ridiculed You. They've done everything they can to throw You out of this nation. They're doing all that they can to remove You and to remove Your name, and we will not allow that to happen. And in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, we want a shaking that would go on in our media that would be so great, Lord God, that the foundations of our media, that fear of God is going to fall in America again. Lord God, that fear of God, that there's a God in heaven, that man will stand before a God in judgment if he does not turn or call on the name of the Lord. Father, I want to thank You that You will remove those ones who stand in the way. Lord God, they've stood in the way long enough. Lord God, there's many innocent people. There's many innocent, whether it's children and even adults in our nation, are suffering because of the lies and things that are being put out in our government, the lies in our media. Lord God, these people don't care who they destroy or what they do. Father God, You're the God who protects the innocent. And I expect, Lord God, You protect the children of our nation from the evil and these evil people with their doctrines in the name of Jesus. Father God, bring them to their knees or remove them completely in the name of Jesus Christ to protect this generation, Lord God, that has not had Your name talk to them. All they've done is go into schools that ridicule every good thing and all the hatred, Lord God. That's all they've ever heard. But Lord God, You're the God of heaven. And Father God, I expect Your hand to come down, Lord God, and deal with these ones in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father God, it will turn back in the name of Jesus. Glory will be revealed once more in America. The anointing of God. And our president will stand up bold in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we'll have a leader in our nation. Lord God, He is a leader. But many don't respect it as so. But He is a leader. Hallelujah. And He's Your leader. And He's not out there, Lord God, to make people comfortable. Lord God, we need a lot more of the china closet tore up. There's even many of the Christians need their china closets torn up. Hallelujah. Lord, there's many of Your people that are doing evil, walking in evil. Hallelujah. Lord God, it's the days You said judgment starts in the house of God. Lord, surely we need it. Surely we need it. Lord, we need to bring the call back to the church to repent. We need the call back for the church turning their hearts to you once more. Hallelujah. The fear of God in the church. Ananias and Sapphira will be gone in the name of Jesus. The ones playing church will no longer exist. Yes, and those ones will fear and they will no longer join us. Hallelujah. There will be fear in the church again because there is a living God. There is a living God. There is a living God. Hallelujah. 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 Respect and honor comes back to Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Respect and honor come back to that glorious, glorious, glorious name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Beskombara. Beskombara tita faraskima. Beberita ta fasanyo. Brakadishlea tashke babratageshishe burka na yakoshisha. Vrandegesheshe kalakuke. Bifrati, vrandige la baragushina maka, donde vese anako yete ishile, babragade barayashune, venskoleato sheke yatsukodila. For I say, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. For I have watched and I have looked into the earth, and I have looked into the nation of America, and the heart has become rotten, and the heart stinks. But I have a plan, because there's a people in this nation whose heart does not stink, who are not a stench, and they're my people. They're the ones that I've called, the ones who listen to me. And they have called, and I have yielded. And for their sake, says the Lord, I shall move again upon this land. For their sake, I shall rise up. I will not rise up in this nation because this nation deserves me to rise up. I will rise up because there's a people who can say to me, Lord, rise up, and for their sake, I will rise up. And I will reach across this land, and my hand will be known in every corner. Yes. And those who fear me will come before me, and I will bless them. And those who reject, oh, they'll walk in great darkness, and they will not see, and then many will never see again. And they will walk in their darkness. Oh, but my hand will go forward. And ones will come to the light and call to the light. Hallelujah. And they will be saved. And glory, glory and honor will be restored back to the church again. And the glorious church will rise up. And they will rise up. And my heart reaches out to wait to the day that I can take them where you will be mine permanently. Where you will belong to be with, you will be with me. Hallelujah. And you will see with your eye. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 The Spirit of the Lord is saying, bright days are coming to you. Glorious days are coming to you. Glorious days are coming. For the sake of the righteous, I will bless this nation. For the sake of the righteous. Oh, and many are calling and saying, what all is going to collapse and go under. I want you to know, says the Lord, I will uphold. I will uphold in these days that my glory will be revealed. I will uphold. And I will uphold many. They deserve none of it. But they will be held up because of the glory revealed through the righteous. Hallelujah. Yes. And finances will flow that are needed to carry the message. And you'll be blessed as a people. Healing will flow like a river over the land again. Yes, healing will become commonplace in these last days. As I reveal my glory, as I did when I walked the earth, and healing flowed like a river in Israel, it shall flow across this land and around the world. Healing will flow in a great river in these last days that will go out, and many, many will call on my name. Because they have seen that river flow and they have been blessed. And I'll bring it back again. And eyes will see many, many wonderful things and many glorious things. Lord God, the blessing of humanity, that's what I have come for. That's my desire, is to reach men. And I shall do it, says the Lord. And a great number will be called out in the last day. A great number, hallelujah, will be called together, that when I return, says the Lord, hallelujah, a huge multitude shall leave this earth. And glory, oh, such glory, such glory, such glory. And it will not be hidden from your eyes, for you will know those days that are coming and when it approaches. You will see it and understand it. It will not be something hidden from your eyes, but it will be hidden from the world's eyes. And those who follow after the world, those ones who walk away from the things of the Spirit. And there are many that are in the church today are going to follow off away from the things of the Spirit and walk after them, and they will not be ready for me at my coming. But many will come in who haven't known. Many will turn back who have known and walked away and say, I've come back, I was wrong. Hallelujah. And they will join together in a great multitude for my kingdom. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just appreciate you so much to speaking to us. Lord, I appreciate you speaking through me to, Lord, whether it's the message we minister to the Word, or Lord God, whether it's through tongues and interpretation or prophecy, Lord God, I thank you. Lord God, you're not leaving us in the dark of things that we know, so we understand what's going on. Father God, I want to thank you. Lord God, you just impress such a great security upon me. Hallelujah. That we're secure, that we're set. Hallelujah. And Lord God, the desires of our hearts are going to be fulfilled. And Lord, I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, you know what the cries of our hearts, Lord God. We have families, we have relatives. Lord, there's many standing around on the outside ain't paying attention. But Lord God, I want to just want to thank you for the righteous in the earth. I thank you for the ones who have stood right and walked right and are calling right. Hallelujah. And Father God, your response to us based on that. Thank you so much for honoring your word. Thank you for, Lord God, Lord, it's not even reasonably right that the God of heaven and earth would respond to a man. But yet, you've given us your word and the authority to use it so you would respond to us. Lord God, you gave us so much power. You gave us so much authority. It is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Lord God, I would have never trusted me with it. But you did. That you knew your ability, Lord God, was going to be greater in us than our weakness and our failures. And you knew, Lord God, that you would use it to bring your glory and your honor back into this earth. And I thank you for it. Hallelujah. Oh, my God, I thank you for it. Hallelujah. 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 Father, as we go out this week, we go out with great confidence. Hallelujah. Lord God, we have a bright future. Lord God, and Lord, I feel so bad for so many. I feel so bad, but Lord God, I'm going to walk in the truth. I'm going to follow the truth because the truth has made us free. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, folks. Well, be blessed. Glory to God.